and Janet Brigham Rands, who will be talking to us today. I first met Dan when he was hawking books at Benchmark, and had this innate ability to convince me that whatever he had on hand was something that I desperately needed. Dan did his undergraduate degree in philosophy at BYU and completed his PhD in religion at Claremont Graduate School. His dissertation was on Mormon resources for a postmodern worldview. In a weak moment, I think Dan decided that he was willing to take on the job at Sunstone, and we're excited to hear about the kinds of things he's got in mind. Janet Brigham Roberts, who will be commenting on Dan's paper, did her undergraduate degree in journalism and worked as an editor at Jensen and various newspapers and Associated Press. Janet really has spent, it sounds like, her life taking her journalism skills and applying the things that are of interest to her. She recently completed a PhD in psychology and has been doing publishing and writing in that field, notably around tobacco research. So I'm going to turn the time over to Dan, and then we'll hear from Janet.
Thanks, Keith. Well, first of all, thank you for coming. It's good to know that people still care about this magazine that you hardly ever see. And part of my my hope today is to let you know where we're headed, when it's coming out, how you can help, all those things all in one. Let's get right to it. Where is the magazine? I was hired in January. There is a magazine at press right now. We're waiting for Blue Line, which is kind of the last chance to make any changes. Kind of expected at any time, either the last couple of days. So I would think it's going to be there Monday or something for us. At Blue Line, we have two pieces that we're just going to drop in and go. And so I would think Sunstone, if all goes well, we should have it in about 10 days. Hopefully not more than another 10 to 14 days for your mailboxes. That's the goal about the current issue. It is a 96-page issue. Sunstone's format nowadays is usually 80 pages. It's a larger issue. It's a very good one. It's got Jan Shipps on the cover and a chapter from her book Sojourner in the Promised Land in it that she actually wrote that chapter as prepared for a Sunstone presentation, and so we've got the rights for that. We've altered it. And it's really going to be a fascinating piece. And a lot of good things are coming out in that one. That one has sort of been off the front burner for the last 3 or 4 weeks, pretty much completed, negative shot, everything like that. I've been forging ahead on the following issue, and I would really think that you'd get that for 4 to 5 weeks behind this one. So there should be two. It's going to be a 96-page issue. When we do the overhead here, I'll show you the page plan for that. And you'll get a sense of how we put it together. But primarily it's a 96-page issue because we're going to be publishing Eric Samuelson's play, Gaddy Anton, and it takes up 36 pages. And so for those of you who weren't going to read the play, we wanted you to have a great Sunstone experience there, even though I encourage you to read it. If you are a subscriber to the magazine, please don't worry. We get you the issues that you paid for. Somebody brilliant 20 years ago or 15 years ago decided Sunstone needs to be sold by issues rather than time. Apparently, for one glorious year, they actually got 6 or more issues out, like that was their plan, but it's never been accomplished. They've hired me, and I've committed to do it. I really think I'm going to have at least 3 out by the symposium in August. So hopefully it'll help build some confidence in that you'll remember why you like the magazine so much. You'll actually begin to see it and hopefully feel like we've got things together. Right. So bi-monthly is what we're trying to do. And that's kind of a good segue. Janet encouraged me to talk a little bit about what were the delays. It's a little bit sensitive, but just let me try to give you the overall perspective. As you know, Albert Peck has been the life and blood of Sunstone for the last 14 years. Most of the time, he's been almost a one-man show. We've had Carol Quist as an office manager and as a support, but as far as getting the magazine out and the energy, the drive, the vision, Albert's been it. It's been Sunstone Finances that have, you know, forced that model that it's one person who does this, and then, you know, he sort of takes 4 months out of his life and works on this symposiums. There have been managing editors from time to time. Managing editors are basically the person who sort of do the dirty work. They're the person that says, you know, we've got to have this picture, you know, and you've got to draw this box, and we've got to turn this into a sidebar, and you start doing those things. And so 4 or 5 years ago when Brian Cagle, Brian Waterman sort of left Sunstone, that was a big loss. They were the guys that were able to, Elbert, got to have work, you know, we got to get these things out. And so just the fatigue of years and years had done some things. Then about 97, Elbert began to have to fight for his membership in the church. Some of you may have heard about that. It took a horrible toll on him as far as having to defend. He was being held responsible for things that were said at the symposiums. You know, he had a fairly, you know, stake president that wanted to say, you know, you're to blame. That necessitated some moves and restructuring of the board of directors to where Elbert was no longer a contributor. He was an employee of Sunstone. He wasn't the decision maker. So there was a restructuring of the bylaws to sort of protect him during this fight. But at the same time, there became sort of a war within Sunstone. What's Sunstone to be? Is Elbert the right person to lead the magazine and to lead Sunstone in the future? He came out as a gay man. He's not an orthodox believer the way some people are. And so these were these issues that were coming along here. And the fatigue and the anger and the fights and stuff like that just threw him into a depression that he's now emerging from. And in the issue that's out press, you'll be able to read his apologies and his hope for the future. And kind of we're hoping that you'll, you know, look with him with some charity. In order to rectify this and to help pull him out of this, the board has restructured again. They hired William Stanford to be the business manager to kind of take over that and the fundraising and kind of organizing all that. And he's also our web manager. And I'm going to talk about the website and show you a couple pages from it and things later today. So he's working in that area. I'm trying to take the magazine. Elbert is going. Carol Quist has office manager now. She's mercantile manager, our little bookstore and things that we're doing there. And then Elbert's role will be certainly an advisory presence in all those. And then he's going to be driving force behind symposiums and kind of the content of the website. As I talk about a Sunstone Unbound, the kind of the vision of the magazine and the website working together, he's going to be working a lot with that. So that's the new structure that seems to be emerging. With Elbert, you know, you have a man of great vision, great creativity. But with everybody's strengths, guess what? You don't have those strengths unless you are also not necessarily the most organized person. You know, the one who can turn down that conversation in order to get this task done. So I just love Elbert and appreciate him. And just trying to be honest and tell you the way it is, we're hoping to gain your confidence back. And that's partly what this presentation is about today. So we understand your anger, your frustration. You have every right to yell at us and to doubt our words. And we're just hoping that you give us the chance over the next 6 months or a year to really show you that we think we've turned a corner. Okay, I think that was my first section. Let's talk about the magazine. I inherited this beast, but it's something I like. Obviously, some of you like it here and miss it, and so that's why you've decided to do. And so I thought I'd just, you know, tell you a little bit about its layout and what we're trying to do, some of the changes, and the history of the magazine, kind of Sunstonus perennis, if you wanted to give it a species. It's a species I like, basically, and it'll have a whole lot of radical changes that I feel like my 3 months experience is, you know, qualified me to say we got to revamp it here. So let me just kind of give you a sense of what's going on with it. This is a page plan, and this is the issue that I'm working on. It's probably about 4 or 5 weeks out. It's a 96-page issue, so we've got this little structure here. So you'll see this is page 96. So this is your inside back cover, your inside front cover, your table of contents, and then all the numbering here. You probably just intuitively know this if you read the magazine a lot. We start with letters to the editor. I guess that yellow sort of made it work out, but up there is letters right here. So look, we've blocked off, at least right now, 4 pages for letters. A 2-page editorial usually is what follows letters. Then we do columns. Everything there in the yellow at the front and the beginning is set in 3-column format, and we use 9.5 point size. I don't know if anybody care. We use Berkeley Book font for the most part, which is a serif type font, which has the little tags and things that add for readability and all that as your eyes look. It's easy to see things like that. So it always starts with those sections, and then we go into our feature area. Features are set in columns. They go to slightly one point size bigger font. And so in this one, for instance, Cornucopia, which is a section I'll talk about quite a bit in a minute. Then we have Mardi Gras Symposium History, which was 10 pages for that. Then we have Eric Samuelson's Big Play, that I mentioned is kind of the reason that we're onto a 96-pager again. And then we've got Phyllis Barber's Dancing with the Sacred, if anybody heard that at last summer's symposium. It's a really nice piece. Following that, we go back to a column, three columns. Coming up, we have Douglas Ridge, some reflections on his mission in South Africa during apartheid and some of his life lessons in church. It's very, just a good feeling article. Stacey Burton wrote a thing about Towards Mormon Cultural Studies, 10 books I would like to see come out. So she's done a nice job. We've got two book reviews that'll take up 4 pages. And then we always close with news and commentary. And then just to let you know, if you've ever noticed, in letters to editor, it always begins with a Cal Grondahl cartoon. And then we always end with a Pat Bagley cartoon. And his little thing is called Oxymormon is the name of his cartoon section. I'm trying to think what else here. And then finally, we always close with an olive leaf. That's a new development over the last 2 years. I like it. Sometimes with sunspots, does anyone remember what sunspots are? They're usually the little oddity sort of things, you know. Anyway, they're kind of fun. But in order to help close the magazine on a good feeling note, we've been trying to select good pieces, classic speeches, something that you can kind of close the magazine and feel that it's just not a bunch of whiny or, you know, sniping type of thing. And so that's the basic layout, and that's what I work with. And today we're able to put the magazine together in sections. If we stick with our plan, I can know, for instance, that this is my centerfold, and then I'm going to have this piece of art here. And so if I get that page ready ahead of time, I can confidently, you know, number it and things like that. So we try to assemble it this way. So that's kind of the basic layout for that. And I'm seeing if I put anything on that. So let's go on to the next stuff. One of the evolutions, Sunstone has been growing. It has been learning. One of the things we've done is Albert and I kind of tease, we call it our commitment to poetry. And so don't forget, Dan, we have a commitment to poetry. And so, for instance, let's show you a little example of maybe 5 years ago, this would be how the poetry in the magazine would end up. Obviously, we finished our article here. Guess what we did? We looked for a poem that fit. You know, you probably didn't feel too great about how her poem was presented. The last few years, if you've looked at it, it's much more likely that you'd see something like this. Framed by white space, we put an icon that doesn't necessarily relate to it, so that's too much pressure to try to find one. But just a general Mormon or Christian tradition sort of icon over it, and we're really trying to make space. So that's an evolution and a growth within the magazine. We've gone to a commitment to photography and to presenting art is better. Did anybody remember from the last issue? This is a nice thing. We're going to try to always do a centerfold. Mark England, who is our cover artist for the next issue on Gaddy Anton, and he's going to have a nice two-page spread again in our centerfold. We've begun a conversation with a photographer in Salt Lake named Michael Schoenfeld, who really seems to have a talent for capturing people and personalities. And so we've talked with him about possibly doing a portrait series of some of the brighter lights of Mormon scholarship, the Sunstone community, where he would do it and, you know, really work on capturing their heart and their essence through photography and kind of a Richard Avedon New Yorker sort of connection. He'll do it for cheap. You know, if pretty soon we're hoping that people say, wow, I really go to Sunstone because I really like Michael's work. And so we're hoping to have a nice little commitment there with photography and art. Bigger pictures, bigger cartoons. If you look back 10 years ago, that cartoon was probably this big. Now it's probably invaded 2 or 3 columns. We're just trying to go with that much more visually appealing magazine. We'll continue that trend. With the growth in technology, we're pretty much the days of the duotone cover are probably gone. We're going to probably, because the price difference isn't as much anymore, continue to have full color, four color separation type printing on our covers. If we think a piece would work better in two colors or something like that, we'll work on that. But you can expect Sunstone's covers to hopefully be full color, very attractive, striking covers. The one that's coming up with Mark England's piece on Gaddy Anton is quite striking. It doesn't really, it's one of those things, you sign up with an artist, you say, this is for a cover, here's the parameters, you give them the masthead and all this, and you say, make it work so that this looks good. It looks okay. but the art's neat. And it's a standalone piece that he's great to work with. And it's really a striking cover, but I'm not really happy with the way the masthead sort of doesn't show good. You might lose a little bit at the newsstand, but most of you probably have it sent to your house anyway, so we'll live with it. The technology has allowed us to deliver the magazine in a new way. William Stanford and I just went this last Wednesday to a symposium or a training session on some of the new technology. Instead of going to photographic negatives and then having it printed in place, we're going to try with this coming issue to deliver it in a PDF format. Does anyone know what PDF is with the text? It's basically what you see on the page is what you'll get in the magazine. As it is now, you type it up and you look good, but then you have to send the press all the fonts that you used, and you have to send them the file with all the pictures and scans that you used and things like that, and they reassemble the magazine for you on their production screen. What we're doing is trying to send them a document that's flat, and all the layers, boxes upon boxes and all that stuff, will now be flat. We'll send it to them, and hopefully they'll be able to print exactly what it is through this new format. And then we're going to try a direct-to-plate printing method instead of negatives. Just to let you know, it costs about $8,000 to $10,000 per issue for production and mailing. And so, and luckily, these new technologies will be right in that normal ballpark for us. Well, it's hard to predict because over the last 3 years, last 2 years, there's been three issues of the magazine. So the last few years, you can't say anything for it. I think other than my salary, pretty much we can produce the magazine, mail it, and all that thing for the subscription rate. If you were to, and maybe another third of subscriptions might kick in towards my salary, or the editor's salary. That would be about my guess. Right now we're just under 4,000 subscribers. But again, we're hoping. A lot of people just kind of fell by the wayside. Oh, his sons don't die. I never see it. They don't think of it. We're hoping to get a few issues out and then really, hey, we're back on track. Please subscribe and we'll have a better sense of that. Did that address your question? That's the best I could do at the moment because it just hard to predict out of what happened the last few years. Another thing is the commitment to shorter pieces. Sunstone in its early days was, six, seven articles, maybe two, three poems, and that was it. The development of Cornucopia, the development of some of these other things is something so that if you only have 10 minutes to read, you'll find something in Sunstone that'll be hopefully worthwhile and interesting for that even 1 minute on some of the items. So anyway, did everybody get the little handout? Let's put the thing on the board here. You can follow along here, but Janine or Sharon, do you guys have that handout? What I wanted to do is kind of ask for your help, and I'm not going to spend much time at all at this, but I got a few examples of these to kind of let you see what's going on. But Cornucopia was a section that was developed maybe 5-6 years ago to kind of capture short, one-thought pieces, little interesting things that people can browse and look at. So here are some, this is a selection. We've had more sections than this, but here's a selection of some of the things that we do there. And again, the whole goal for this, if you see something that fits, or if you want to write something for this, I want you to send them to me really quickly. My creed is something where it's just a bunch of short statements, or here are the five ideas that animate my religious life and why. Just very short, kind of a short pillars of my faith. Is everyone familiar with that term? Here's six or seven thoughts that I have that do it. There are lots of examples over the last few years. Sun rays is one that hasn't happened for a while, but I really like it, so I stuck it right up there at the top. And that says, here I am. Here are five movies that have altered my religious worldview. You know, put it out there and give me three lines why. Here are my favorite five books. Here's even my best four ideas. Now you can sort of take it out of the creed language and just simply say, here's something that I like. We'll be happy to print it and let other people look and see what you think. It's the sun rays is something I would love to have more people doing. All Seeing Eye, I have a little bit of a thing. This is from the issue you're about to get. But All Seeing Eye is always visual with a little, you know, a little commentary. Turn it over, yeah. Did anybody see this on the internet last fall? This fellow has tattooed all the prophets onto his back. And so, have a little... last fall, this picture circulated among the LDS internet link. This good brother's obvious affection and respect for Latter-day Prophets will provide him missionary opportunities all the days of his life. No doubt, or we hope. He did it before President Hinckley's statement. But anyway, all the time, if you see a great billboard, if you see something interesting, a juxtaposition of images, or something visual, we would love to have that. We go to cyber saints. This is anything that relates to the Mormons in the cyber world. You know, we've got one in the coming up issue. Somebody, Yahoo, and then you go to Mormon, and 275 discussion groups came up, and so a little analysis and stuff like that. So we'd love to have anything that relates to the cyber world. Matters, reflections on Mormon art, literature, pageantry, etc., voices from abroad. We'd really like to encourage, if you know people in the international church who write you an interesting letter, encourage them to just make an observation for us. We'd love to put it in there. The Mormon media image, notes about Mormonism as depicted in news and popular culture. Psalms, write your own little liturgy or little psalm. This is my approach to God, kind of a worshipful sort of verse. In the world, if you've had an encounter, you know, where you've interacted with a person from another faith, or you know, at a homeless shelter or something like that, something that kind of talks about that. And again, we're happy to make up a new category for you too. So I mean, these are some of the standards. My favorite one: curlims and cummums, wordplay, sniglets. If you make up a phrase, you know, that kind of has to do with all the Robert Kirby's no mo, and you know, all different types of mos and things like that. They're fun. The next one is top 10. This was from the last issue. Top 10 biblical ways to acquire a husband. So we do kind of a David Letterman sort of like top 10. So if you're good at developing it, you see something like that, send it along to us. It'd be great. As translated correctly, here's one of my favorites. Well, first of all, this is whenever we, you know, this is something that Albert has developed. But if you happen to be reading another translation of the Bible, and you know, a verse or a new translation really adds something different to the verses, or it makes you know you consider these very familiar phrases in a new way. Great. And so, as translated correctly, is usually where we'll put two or three or four parallel translations side by side. I happened to pick this one for you. I couldn't put it on the overhead because it had a two-page spread. But I just one of our little Bibles that we pick from is Rapping with Jesus: The Good News According to the Four Brothers. And so he's got the hip-hop audience in mind, so, and this is about the Sermon on the Mount. One day, as folks were starting to press on all around Jesus, he decided to go up on the hill for a minute to rap with his chosen brothers. He wanted to know, what's up? You know, there's a little something for everybody, Jesus told him. Brothers who are down in the world, the way they feel, they ain't got nothing to worry about because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And it goes on and on. So we threw that one in there. And so whenever we find something from the four Gospels, we always look to see if... do that. But anyway, turn something in to us, you know, suggest, you know, this makes a difference in another translation. Of good report, when we find non-LDS books that might be of interest, we'd like to put a little passage from that. Out of the best books, recent ones from LDS books. 20 years ago in Sunstone, obviously that's something we've just been going through 20 years ago and trying to find a short piece to excerpt and sort of remind you what was going on then or said back then. As the century turns, we've been trying to do a 100 years turn of the century, and kind of play with the rhetoric and things there.
You know our favorite articles from 20 years ago?
Yeah, well, especially one that I could then take a small section of it and the core of it and put out there. That'd be awesome. And I don't know, you've got the handout, I think. Mormon Index, I brought you an example of this. This is from the coming up issue. This will be the index that's in it. But what we're doing is we're looking for interesting stats. And one of the ones that just hit out of a BYU Studies article was, you know how we're emphasizing church, or Christ in the church? look at that first one. The number of images of Christ published in the Ensign during 71. Five. That was the first year the Ensign was. How many images of Christ in 99? 119. Interesting. But you just think about it, you know, how you change the rhetoric and the church follows, or you know, emphasize something this. And so we're looking for great stats. So if you're reading a book that says this is a good comparison thing, send it to us, and we'd love to help assemble it for that. What else do I have? Miss Lane says, I did want to show you one more for this. This is we put it under the heading of conversion stories. I'd rather have it just be under miscellaneous. But this is something that I really enjoyed it when I saw this. Anybody remember? This is just she wrote an article to the Washington Post. Anyway, I can't remember what it is. But Sylvia Cobbis, she's just an atypical Mormon. And a feminist came to it. I know Rose Sharon here. I need to get her to write hers up. She came to the church in a very unusual or interesting way. And so I would love it if you know a friend, just encourage them to just write a little bit and say, you know, and that's why there's a great diversity among us. And so I wanted to just kind of do that. I won't spend much time at all. Our commitment to photography, we have right now two centerfold sections, plates and angles, you know, kind of photography terms, and then the silver plates, sort of the golden plates. Plates and angles is contemporary, like that Calista Flockhart reading the play Bash. Silver plates is historical photography. An olive leaf I mentioned, sunspots I mentioned a little bit, oxymorons is Pat Baggy's cartoon. We'd love you to do columns, 3-4 pages typeset. That would be about 10 pages type double space. 10 to 12 pages type double space would be the length that would translate probably into that 3-4 page columns. So with art and a few things like that. So if you can distill your thoughts into 10 to 12 pages, turning the time over to is our most common one. This would be more of a sermon. Here's my take. Here's my thoughts on this. You know, we'll turn the time of the rest of the meeting over to so-and-so, what we've tried to do there. We'd love more humor. We'd love to have insider reflections this side of the missionary tracks. We'd love to have college students contribute more, et cetera. I'll talk about the changes in news in a minute. And then just to let you know, you're probably just curious. Don't most of you like the cartoons in Sunstone? Guess what? Nobody submits them to us. Traditionally, what's happened is, you know, it's something we get lots of ideas to do it, and then we need people to draw them. So if you have a joke or something you think would be a good cartoon idea, I'd love that. If you have some talent and say, hey, I'd like to try my hand at drawing 3 or 4 of your cartoons, we'd be happy to do that. And there's something we'll pay on. You know, we're not going to make you rich, but, you know, 20, 25 bucks, you know, if we do that, we'd love to do it. But that's a real struggle. It's a neat thing that Sunstone has, and when you get 3 issues out in 2 years, you know, we're okay with our cartoons. But if we start really cranking them out, 6 per issue, I'm going to need some volunteers to draw or that I can hire to do it. But we have quite a few ideas built up. And so we'd love to have you do it. And then also, I'm looking desperately for artists and illustrators. So if you know somebody who's at art school, or you know who's trying to build their portfolio, or if you want to try it yourself, we've got articles that we'd say we would love art, and we can maybe suggest 6 or 8 different scenes from the story or something. We'd love to have you try 1 or 2 on or something. But just know that we don't have staff artists, and we'd love to do it when we can. So.
I feel like you need a section on news.
We do, and
small audience. So send it out.
Through the website stuff, we're planning to do that, and we'll talk about the website in just a minute. But anyway, actually, and just to let you know too, the way we gather our fiction is through the D.K. Brown Fiction Contest. So if anybody has one, I brought the flyers for how to enter fiction. Luckily, I'm glad I'm not the judge of that. But our panel of judges selects from the entries, and then our promise is to publish all the winners from that. And then poetry is something else I'm not the editor on. And so I have the name Dixie Partridge and her address if you wanted to submit some poetry. So come see me afterwards. I'd be happy to talk about that. Okay, quickly on the future, and then I give it to Janet. Two main things that I'm excited about. We'll get ready for the website ones. First of all is our partnership with the website. So, is that the opening one? Yeah. This is just several windows from the website that William kind of overlaid for me to kind of talk about here. Our website's about 10 days, we hope, from opening. It won't... Yeah. Rose Sharon is William's husband. Right here. I'm sorry. I keep pointing at her in case you wonder why it is. Yeah. Oh, she's his wife, yes. And he's been working on it. But you'll see that it opens and there's all these different sections. What's new? Mercantile. I can't read that. Symposiums, magazines about Sunstone, the Mormon University, and site maps that help you negotiate around there. But we're planning that this is going to be a nice website when it opens. It's he's using the very latest technology. Instead of having static web pages, everything is an active, dynamic web page. It's more work, but if you have a strong database, which has been part of the delays in this whole thing, is getting the database right. What it is this program goes in and you search for this, this, and this, and it's building that for you as you speak, rather than having every book have its just its own web page. And so you click, I want Tom Alexander's book, and you click on that, you're going to see the same thing this time. You may get Tom Alexander's book in four or five different queries, the way this works. So we think it's going to be successful and wonderful. And I think that hopefully you're getting a sense here that it's going to be a nice design and all that stuff too. But among the things that we'll have, would you like to volunteer? I don't know if that's on this one or the other one, but a place to, you know, here's some tasks and some needs that we have. We'll put things like that there. Volunteer help. You need to apply. So anyway, I just want to let you know there's going to be a nice partnership. Since we'll have another vehicle, another outreach, it'll probably open with at least the last few years' symposiums and the magazines are on there, and we'll need volunteer help to help type in, you know, the previous years. But we'll open at least with a sense of what you'll be able to accomplish, and, you know, directing you to the volunteer section if you would like to take a couple hours and type in a symposium for that. As far as the magazine goes, what I'm excited about is going to be the link. I just put this here because I didn't want to make a new overhead. But at the end of every article from now on will be this link saying to comment on this article, to read comments by others, visit our website, sunstoneonline.com. So for those of you who want to, you know, put your bookmark there, that's what we're going to be. And so you'll see this as a reminder. Within this section on the magazine here, you'll be able to go and you'll see the table of contents for the current issue, and it will tell you a little bit about each article, and then there'll be a place for you to write comments, read comments by others. So hopefully we'll begin a little dialogue there, right there on the website. We are envisioning also something called Sunstone Unbound. I think we've stole that from Atlantic Monthly. But you go to that website, and here's a sort of a web magazine that feeds off each other. So Sunstone Unbound will have new queries. We'll post some surveys that we'd love to have responses to. We'll ask you, we'll tell you some topics that we're interested in looking to have articles and comments on. We'll post classic articles from the past and invite discussion. Does this still work 10 years later or 15 years later? And hopefully it'll be something that'll bring you back to the website over and over again. So that's part of the thing I'm excited about. I'm looking forward to it for another reason, is that I'm going to look for good ideas there. I'm going to say, oh, wow, Will Bagley's comment. That's awesome. That deserves to go in the magazine. Or I may see a germ idea, and hopefully you'll suggest to me, Dan, you know, that was a really good comment there. Let's develop that into something for the magazine. So I'm hoping to look for it as a way to help infuse fresh ideas into the magazine. And hopefully many things from there will, in some form or other, end up in the magazine. Then finally, the last significant change to talk about. You can show the other. Yeah. This was just another page from the website. If you were to, this is about the mercantile end of it. If you wanted to query about a book, or you wanted to click Eugene England, you'll see here, that's his picture up there in the corner. You'd click on it, I want to see what you have for sale by Gene England. You click there, certain things would come up. You'll also be able to search by title, by author, by topic. And, you know, we're hoping that our bookstore, past issues, all sorts of things will grow out of the out of our website as well, and hopefully generate some income and help connect everybody to Sunstone. So anyway, some good things with the web coming. Final thing that I see happening as we can. The news section is apparently, and I've seen it for one issue, the most difficult for us to assemble. Because we don't have a team of writers. And we've begun to sense that with the web and all the Mormon news services and things like that, little funny tidbits are probably you know, this crowd can get them without us. So what we envision, and I think this is a good thing, fewer stories, the big ones. We'll certainly talk about the name of the church and the coming up one. We'll talk about the move against the websites. We'll talk about, well, I've got something on Mac Madsen and his petition about gays and a few things. So we'll talk about some big ones. But probably you're going to end up seeing four or five sort of reportings. But then what we're going to do is we're going to be actively going after commentary. And so it'll be a news and a commentary, news and a contemporary perspective sort of thing. So rather than just everybody spoke at this conference and here was the major theme and, you know, and so did this and do that, you're going to see, I think, the solid, really important news. And then we'll try to deliver you commentary in different formats. Solicit an article from so-and-so. Solicit, and maybe if you don't have time to write me something, I'm going to interview you, you know, or something. But hopefully the commentary will come in different and interesting formats. Just real small ideas. I mentioned the commitment to more photography. I'm also going to commission a series of articles. I've got a couple going right now. I've got one on the impact of technology upon the church, the Mormon church, but just general religion in general. I've got Michael Hicks, who's promised me something on, he's a music composer. And, you know, composing on the computer versus the piano. What do you gain from digital recording? What do you lose from digital recording versus analog recording? He's going to do some interesting things on that. I've got a friend who's an extropian. Does anyone know what an extropian is? This is somebody who is, he's a Mormon extropian. Is somebody who believes that technology is the way to go, that it's part of the restoration, at least with him, it's part of the restoration plan for us to take full advantage. And so he's got a very interesting Mormon take on cryogenics and freezing yourself in the future and cyborgization of humans and stuff like that. So he's going to hopefully submit something. So I talked to Sheldon Greaves. He's going to try to submit something. So I want to have a section kind of reflecting on technology. I also want to do one on sexuality and the spirit. I've got two articles that are going to kind of do on that. They're linked between sex and spirituality. And then another one that I'm really quite interested in is helping to translate Generation X culture and this, you know, 20 to 35 year old group right now for the church, for the older people in the Sunstone community, you know, this. And so like in the next issue, the one that's 4 weeks out, I've got a nice piece from a book that'll talk about some of the significance of tattooing. You know, that it's not just being stupid kid things, but there's sort of a theology, or at least the possible mark there. And, you know, not to throw anything in President Hinckley's face, but to, you know, to add that there's a religious dimension that maybe is not really as well. So those are some series that I'm planning to do as well. Janet, have at me. Have at us. Enjoyed being with you. Thank you for coming and paying good attention.
Well, I only know one person who's really anxious to get frozen after or before he dies, and so I think we have at least one friend in common. Yeah. I'm really delighted to see the changes that Dan has outlined. I am very enthused by his contagious enthusiasm, and I am anxious to get these issues coming in the mailbox. I'm also very enthused to see that he's approaching this with a great deal of professionalism and that there's a good team that's in place to do things, and you know what needs to be filled in. These are really encouraging things. As was briefly mentioned, my area of expertise over the last few years anyway has been in dealing with issues surrounding tobacco. And there's a journal called Tobacco Control that came out actually kind of along the Sunstone model, although I don't think they'd ever seen Sunstone. They mixed humor with solid science and so forth. And several years ago, when I was paying the $98 a year subscription myself, before my employer did, they kind of lapsed into non-publishing. And after two issues didn't arrive, I contacted the publisher and demanded my money back and then re-demanded my money back until I got my money back. Because I had paid for the issues, they weren't there. Now, Sunstone lapsed publishing, and my husband and I both just kept contributing extra money. So I think there's something to be learned in the goodwill of the community that is your audience and that are your customers. And the fact that people want this to succeed. I wanted tobacco control as a journal to succeed too, but not enough to pay them extra. And I think you have customers and consumers who do want this to succeed very much and will be excited by the changes that you want to put into place. I love what you're doing with the web page. They're wonderful, wonderful changes. And I also like that you have an approach that is in the best Sunstone tradition of supporting alternative voices and giving voice to people who otherwise are silent. And I think this may be the most important function Sunstone serves. And I have some concerns about those issues, not related to what you've talked about, but I'll talk about that in just a moment. But a couple of points I do want to raise, and these are things you touched on that I think you're headed in a very good direction on, and I want to reinforce the direction that it seems to be that you're going. First of all, I like very much that you have an international aim, that as you go on the web, suddenly there are no national boundaries. And suddenly you've got, we have a small website that I manage dealing with some genealogy things that the group my husband's involved with. And we get orders from all over the place. I have to look at postage for the strangest countries, and where someone must speak English because they've ordered this book. And it's really heartening to see how we truly are becoming one unified world as a result of this incredible technology that we are able to take advantage of now. Along with that, I think it's very important to keep a demographic focus that brings in something other than white guys. And there's not a tradition really in Sunstone for focusing on white guys. My husband and I call them white guys because I don't know how else to describe white guys. Words fail. And I'm married to a white guy, and my father was a white guy, and all of you who are white guys, I'm delighted that you're here. And you know, but Sunstone really needs to have representation by that shows that other people exist. One of the things I do in my work is several times a year the government flies me back to Washington to sit on committees that review grants, and we don't recommend funding on grants if women and children and racial and ethnic minorities are not adequately represented in the population under study. That if these voices aren't included and aren't represented in a very substantial way, not just nominally, but very substantial way, then Sunstone loses its ability to talk to these people because it's only white guys talking to white guys. And so it's very important, and I think this is essential for Sunstone's survival. And I'm looking forward to the day that the board is not so many white guys. And I'm looking forward to the day that that Sunstone doesn't resemble church quite much in that sense. That there is really a more egalitarian feeling between genders, between people of varying ages, and that the playing field is really leveled. I'm delighted that you're taking an approach that will do this, and I hope it becomes a very conscious effort. And I know with the grants people submit, it has to be a conscious effort, because it's just a lot easier not to make it a conscious effort. And so I hope you really will maintain that focus. Just a couple of other points I wanted to make. It's important to remember that Sunstone survives because of the goodwill of people who are your customer base. And this is true of the symposia as well as of the magazine, and it's hard to separate you in that sense. And I have been concerned, particularly, and I want to put this on record, not to say this for this group here, but for those who are going to listen to this tape, I want to go on record as saying that I'm very distressed by some of the turns that have happened and have become evident at this particular Sunstone. I'm distressed to the point of tears that someone was humiliated last night by a description read of a paper that Sunstone's not going to support and that is actually being read down the hall. And whether I would ever have said what she said or titled what she titled is utterly beside the point. The point is that Sunstone is not a place where anyone of any idea, no matter how eccentric, strange, bizarre, off the wall, blunt, whatever, should be humiliated. That's absolutely verboten, and that happened last night, and I was, I can't express distress beyond what I feel. And I truly hope the magazine does never carry that feeling and that sensation. And Dan seems to be a person of just immense goodwill. And I applaud that and hope that you always that always shines through, because that is the one thing that will keep the goodwill going and will keep Sunstone surviving, will be that goodwill that emanates. And if Sunstone sets itself up to become something with a lot of high standards that people need to meet, you need those eccentric people with their strange ideas who think the Book of Mormon was really written on Mars. You know, you
on
need
the website.
On the website, yes. No, I not just need to publish their articles, but Sunstone needs, just like the Gospel Net overall, needs to, is designed to include people even who have strange notions. Sunstone also needs to have a wide net and not an exclusive net, and not that you have to publish every bad poem that comes to you. I promise not to send you any, but that Sunstone needs to be a place where at least these things are respected and everyone is treated with respect. And this could not be a more important thing to remember. And I don't, this doesn't apply directly to anyone in this room. Like I said, this is for whoever's listening to this on a tape. But it's critical that Sunstone remember that, and that the magazine be a vehicle for the open forum that embraces, even with ideas and vocalizations that you wouldn't necessarily make. There's also a second journal that publishes about tobacco, and it's very straight-laced. It publishes on schedule, and you know, and I actually helped with it and have helped edit some of the issues, and it does not replace what Tobacco Control, with all of its quirky little humor about tobacco and so forth. It never replaces what the other journal does. There's a place for Sunstone, just as there's a place for Dialogue, and there's a place for the Ensign, and there's a place for all of these. And Sunstone, as a magazine, really has a unique role to play, and part of this is its accepting open nature. And I have great faith that this is something that Dan and the team who will be working on this will carry forth. And nothing could be more important than being able to have a place where people, especially people who are alienated from the church for whatever reason, have some contact with those principles that they still hold very dear, and that you hold very dear. And nothing can be more important than having a way for that to communicate. And so I'm delighted with what you're doing, and I applaud you for having issues coming out. That's not easy to start from. You know, to start running from a dead stop is not an easy thing to do. Really applaud you in this, and I and others will give you our full support to try to make it work. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Dan and Janet. We are a bit beyond time, but maybe we could take a couple of quick questions.
Oh, Dan, if you had a conversation experience, you seem to master the lies and
arcane details of the craft. I am now a Quark Jedi. That is what Albert called me. At Benchmark Books, we did put out newsletters and catalogs, and I was a major, you know, person in that, but it wasn't same sort of layout. Also, when I worked at the libraries of the Claremont Colleges, I was a trainer and a supervisor in the public service department, and so I did produce a lot of public documents, but as far as putting together a magazine, it's kind of from start. One of the things that she reminded me of, too, was you kind of said from the dead start, if anybody on this tape or in this room, one of the things is there is a 2 to 3 year backlog of submissions that I'm getting to. But it's our apologies. Just another one of the apologies needed. If you're somebody who's been in limbo, write to me so I can make sure to find yours in the pile quicker. You know, but that's a ridiculous mess. And so Albert and I try to meet every few days or so, and I'll take a few more files off his hands. But again, our apologies for that. That was, it's part of the depression and just the standstill. But thank you for that. Again, talk to your friends. Just send us a short piece. You know, you see something in a book, do it. We just really could use your help because it's a staff of one, and about a 6-hour-a-week typesetter is what we're doing right now. But of course, with Albert's experience and stuff, we're going to be fine. So I'm enthused and appreciated. Yeah, great comments. So take those to heart. And in fact, I've already spoken with the person who you talked about, and I think it's something that we need to address To me, it highlights a schism and a battle for the soul of Sunstone, and we'll figure out some way to address that in the pages of the next issue or two. And certainly, I think I'm going to encourage us to do it this summer at the symposium. We'll talk with this person to see how comfortable he or she is. I guess everyone knows it's a she. And we'll figure out something. So kind of let's have a good discussion. More discussion rather than less discussion, right?
Thank you.